Excellent. Thank you very much, Otis. And you are listening to the Pacifica National Board Programming Committee. And today is November 7th. And I am Catherine. I'm going to take the roll officially, and then we will begin our meeting. Okay. Grace Aaron.
Here.
Thank you. Ken Aaron.
Here.
Catherine Davis, present. Benita Diaz. Okay, absent. James Digman.
Here.
Present. King Downing. Absent. Anissa Faruqi. Absent. Sabrina Jacobs. Sabrina Jacobs. Absent. Dwayne Lark.
Great.
Eric Ramey.
Present.
Tom Voorhees. Absent. So let me go back. Benito Diaz. Absent. King Downing.
Present.
Present. Excellent. Anissa Faruqi. Absent. Sabrina Jacobs. Absent. Tom Voorhees. Absent. Did someone just come on the call?
That was me.
Oh, okay. All right, so we have quorum.
Wait, so, this is Steve Price. You didn't call my name.
Oh, I'm sorry. Steve Price. Steve Price?
Yes.
Thank you. So sorry for missing your name. So we have quorum. So I'll call this committee meeting to order, and we have a proposed agenda. We've called the roll, and the agenda is roll call, appoint timekeepers, changes or additions, approve minutes, and reports on various issues that include the questionnaire for program directors, discussion of potential objectives for the program committee to work on going forward. And underneath that category, we have analyze and discuss programming, underwriting. And in my email, I sent a draft of the WBAI sponsorship agreement. The next category is program director's obligation to report statistics on what is being broadcast, working on traffic management, station IDs, promotion, utilizing airtime, training issues, alternative stations doing internet radio streaming costs, etc., podcasting, digital and analog. And we have two proposed draft resolutions submitted by Jim Dingman, resolutions for the programming committee traffic management, and resolutions for the, oh, I see there are two I have here. Did you send two separate, well, at any rate, I believe there are two.
And, yeah, there are two.
I have the motion that was passed on October 23rd. I submitted it to the PMB for it to be passed hopefully tomorrow at the meeting and adjourn at 10:30 p.m. So, can I have a volunteer to be a timekeeper? And we do 90 seconds per person in a round robin style.
Sure,
as
Karen,
we go through the various.
It's Eric. I'll be timekeeper.
Okay, thank you, Eric. Are there any changes or additions to the agenda?
Catherine, let me just ask. I see we have a pretty extensive agenda there. Are we going to limit the... Well, here, we'll go ahead and play it by ear. I was going to ask if we're going to limit the time on each item.
I wasn't planning to.
Okay, that's fine.
Things, yeah, most of them we have gone through, and I've just been carrying over the items. So
okay,
we may not have anything to say on the various ones. Maybe we need to eliminate something.
Okay, we'll play it accordingly.
Okay, thank you. Are there any additions to the agenda or changes? Okay, I would ask that whoever is in a crowded room to please mute. We have a lot of background noise. Thank you. Okie dokie. We have approval of minutes that will have to be postponed because the minutes are not completed. So I suppose we could take a vote on it, but it's pretty self-evident at this point that we're not able to approve minutes. So the first thing up is the questionnaire for program directors. I believe the questionnaire went out to the program directors. And I believe an email about this went to the executive director. So can anyone confirm those two things?
Hi, this is Ken. That's confirmed on both of those. The questionnaire went to the program directors and the general manager of each station, and also a copy was sent to the new ED, and he acknowledged that. But I didn't get any emails or response from any of the program directors or general managers at all.
Okay, well, they probably were caught up in the whole election stuff, so it's understandable. So does anyone else want to comment on this? Jim, I remember you saying something about inviting the PD from New York. Has she or anyone else been invited?
I did mention it to Linda, but she was so busy with everything in there that we decided to talk about it after the election.
Okay, that makes sense.
And I do apologize for the minutes not being done. I was very involved for weeks in various congressional races, so I was preoccupied.
Okay. Okay, so if we have analyzed and discussed programming. That was what was put on the notice. I'm not sure exactly what that meant. But the first thing up underneath that is underwriting. So does anyone want to speak on analyze and discuss programming?
Could I make one point about that, Captain?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know... I'd be curious to know at some point, I'm just sort of stating an idea about what the other stations are doing in their morning drive slots and what they are doing to get audience. I know that I can now talk about this in New York between 6 and 8 o'clock in the morning. the amount of audience listening to the morning show is under 1,000 people an hour. Usually it's about 500 or more, which is just frankly inadequate. And then it goes up to about 4,700 when Amy comes on, and Amy, we know, sort of, it's not the kind of show that's broadcast that existed maybe 15 years ago when it was sort of integrated to the morning show at BAI. So that, I think, is a problem and, frankly, explains to me how little money is being made. I mean, the relationship of listeners to only 500 to 1,000 people at the most is, you know, a numbers game when it comes to asking people for donations. And I'm just curious, going forward, I'm not talking about really doing something right now, but just thinking out loud about what are we doing at all the stations to build up a very strong morning audience, and what can we learn from each other?
Okay. Would anyone else like to comment on that? I would like to make a comment on that as well. Certainly it matters what people are doing in the morning show, but I think one of the difficulties faced in New York is that there's no personality. There's no common personality to the morning show. So it used to be a very community-based program when it was popular and when it was making a lot of money. So I think that that is something that is needed for those hours. It's if you look at any media, it's a very personable hour. It's very personality-driven, no matter what media you look at. So that's something that needs to be thought about. Okay.
Could I ask a question, Catherine?
Yes, certainly.
So you have a program director at WBAI. Is that program director doing anything about recruiting some personality who's got a better relationship with the community, is more interesting to listen to, can salvage that time slot?
I don't know if she's focusing on that hour. She certainly seems to be bringing in personalities, though.
Yes, I'd like to comment about that.
Okay.
Kathy. Yeah.
All right.
Yes, they're quite aware of this, and I of course Catherine's right. The lack of being able to have paid staff. There's only one person who's actually paid in that slot. That's Michael, the chief announcer, and I will be the first to say the burden has been on him too long. I don't consider him responsible for this problem at all. It's a problem of not having resources to adequately organize that slot. But yes, they are completely aware of it, and I know that they are thinking in different ways how to deal with it. But again, it's the lack of money to pay for staff. That is part of the problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, then. So the next topic is underwriting, and I thought I would initiate the conversation by sending you guys the sponsorship agreement. It's a draft.
Catherine,
yes.
I beg your indulgence. I didn't know we were going to wrap that quick. In terms of programming,
okay.
I just wanted to make like a 10-second comment or so, if I may.
Yes, yeah, sure. This is Eric?
Yes, uh-huh. Our election coverage last night, I've had this problem locally for quite a while. While the returns were coming in or about to come in, we kept branding with other broadcast media, saying, well, CNN is projecting this, NBC is projecting this. That's something we should not be doing. You know, we're giving them a free ride. If I'm hearing returns about what, you know, MSM, you know, what these, I may as well just go to them in real time. you know, that's my comment. I just...
Can I respond to that one?
Okay, who's that?
Steve Pryde, can I respond, say something to that?
Are you done, Eric?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, yes, go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, it is standard broadcast procedure if you're quoting, which they were quoting another news source to give them credit for that. You can't just steal other people's work and brand it as Pacifica's. If Pacifica wanted to do projections, that'd be great, but if you're taking it off of TV, you have to acknowledge that.
We have to acknowledge
okay.
that.
Yeah, otherwise it's basically copyright theft.
It's copyrighted?
No, I'm just a standard procedure in journalism that you do not quote other news sources without giving the source. You don't pretend that you are doing this work if you're not.
So plagiarism.
Is plagiarism to say we have a call in Florida?
Well, do we have a call or does CNN have a call? I mean, that's what I'm saying. If we have a call, if we have the money and resources to do that, then we should do it. If we don't, then we have to acknowledge someone else's where the information is coming from.
Yeah, it's
okay.
A professional stand.
All right. So maybe that's something that there may be other sources of information where one could look and make those determinations, but probably would require a lot of background. Does someone else want to speak on this issue?
Yeah, I want.
Yes, this is.
Brown, my wife, though.
I'm sorry?
Dwayne.
Kevin, we continue to have that background interference, if we can ask. It seems like it's gone now. Okay.
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 Is that what, Dwayne, did you want to speak?
Yes. I just wanted to make an observation that it is not only professional courtesy, but a standard in media, period. Whether it's CNN, CBS, whomever, when they extract something from another source's report, they cite that. It's just fairly simple. But what I wanted to ask was, of those who are on the line, of the stations that you represent, are your stations paying for Arbitron? Because I've heard some numbers referred to as if there were emphatic numbers, and I think the only reliable source if there's such one is Arbitron. So I'd like to know if the other stations are paying for Arbitron.
Sure, I'm sorry. Are you from Houston?
That's correct.
Okay. What was your name? I'm sorry.
Dwayne.
Okay, thank you.
I believe, this is Catherine, I do believe that WBAI had access to Arbitrons. I don't know how long that would be for. I'm only aware of it being available for a month or two. Dwayne.
Well, the reason
I
asked the question is as a point of reference, was elected to the board of KPFT in 2010, and about 12 or 13, we were attempting to cut the budget. And, of course, one of the things I saw was the $33,000 every 2 years subscription to Arbitron, and obviously we gutted it because we felt that from a commercial standpoint, it was a good concept because they based their commercials on those numbers. But our being a nonprofit and having a budget austere, so what I want to know basically, though, is I asked the station manager at the time, why didn't the foundation work out an arrangement to get a cheaper rate than each station purchasing it? And he gave me some cockamamie response to it. But I'm also told that we are still paying for it. So I really don't know what the real answer is. But for those who would pay $33,000 in this market for information that really can't help us grow, you know, I guess it might tell us where we are. It's predictable where we are. We've been at the same 20 years, which is about, out of 60 stations, number 54 or 55. But I just wanted to know what was the policy, if we do have one. The individual stations purchasing that subscription as opposed to the foundation purchasing the subscription.
Okay.
This is Grace for the stack.
Grace
for the stack.
Yes, Grace.
Yes. Duane, anybody can find out where they are in the Nielsen ratings in terms of the ranking in comparison to other stations. There's no cost for that. It's you can access it on the Nielsen website, I believe. However, the stations KPFK and I believe KPFA are currently subscribing to the Nielsens and probably WBAI at the moment. And what it is that subscription is through the Radio Research Consortium, which is a separate organization from Nielsen that gives discounted subscriptions to nonprofit media. So we are getting nonprofit rates. What the Nielsens give us is a more detailed analysis of what our listenership is at given hours of the day. And that's very valuable information. We see which shows, which time slots have higher listenership, which time slots have lower listenership, et cetera, et cetera. So we found it to be very valuable at KPFK, and we are getting nonprofit rates for that subscription.
Grace, 10 seconds, please.
All right, Anissa, line.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'd like a follow-up question to that.
Yes, okay, Duane.
Given my 30 years in radio, I've said again that when you're paying for advertising and things of that nature, it's essential to do business because that's what your rating is based. That's what your rates are based on. But I'd like to know what the stations are paying for that discounted rate. Is it full access to all of the data? Is it limited data? I understand it's nice to know where you are, but how is that data used to change program and increase revenue, et cetera, like that data is used for commercial stations?
Jim,
this is Grace.
Okay, hold on. Jim.
Eric to the stack as well, please.
Eric. Okay, so this is, and I'm going to put myself on the stack as well, Catherine. Okay, Jim.
Well, didn't Denise want to talk?
No, but I am on.
Oh, Denise, how are you? Okay, I didn't hear you. Thank you. Okay, Jim?
Yeah, BAI has been getting the Nielsen ratings for a couple of months. The numbers are pretty sobering. Obviously, they have to be used as one tool to analyze how people are listening or not listening. You have to take it with a grain of salt. But I also think you have to juxtapose it with how much money a show raises itself when it's on. And then, of course, the issue becomes at BAI, the shifting to premium-based strategy to raise money. And then the streaming data, I think for every station, there is live streaming data. Now, we did get a Nielsen rating study that was huge, that was the entire New York City metro market. It was about 1,300 pages. And it was quite extensive. As I say, it was sobering. And so the question is, you know, is it accurate? Is it not accurate in terms of what the audience is? Now, the CPB evaluates the stations based on Nielsen ratings. That's pro and con. So anyway, I'll just end it right there.
Okay.
How much it costs, I don't know. I don't know the answer, Duane. I don't know how much it costs.
Okay, Grace. Grace, are you there?
Yes, I think Jim explained most everything adequately,
with exception of the cost.
The cost, I'm not exactly sure of the exact cost for KPFK. I can find that out, though.
Okay.
Yeah, we can find it out.
All right. So let me see. I lost my place here. Eric.
Yeah, thanks, Catherine. In Washington, I know we're not using Arbitron. I was not aware the Nielsen data was available, so I can't say one way or the other. I'd have to check. One of our colleagues just mentioned a live stream. That's something that a few of us have been looking at. I think that's a good indicator. But no, we servitized at Arbitron many years ago. There was a monetary issue. We just didn't have the funds to do it. But I'm glad you brought up the thing about Nielsen. I'll mention that again. They may or may not be using it. But the live stream is it's a little bit difficult for us to analyze it. It's a little bit difficult, but I'm glad you brought up the thing about Nielsen. I'll take further than that, but I know we're not using Arbitron.
It's the same thing.
Okay.
I'm sorry, you're saying they're one in the same company?
Yeah, Nielsen bought Arbitron.
Oh, I was unaware. I'm terribly sorry. Okay.
Well Nielsen specializes in television as opposed to Arbitron concentrates on radio.
The thing to look for is the Radio Research Consortium as the organization that offers it at a discount to nonprofits.
Yeah, they used to publish this info in the radio in the Post, but anyway, thanks.
Okay, this is Catherine. I wanted to speak on this. I've never really put much stock in the Arbitrons, for the reasons that it's designed for commercial radio. But I've discovered that it does have some uses because of the specificity in terms of it doesn't just give you your day ratings, it gives you hour by hour. So I find that it dispels some myths about who has high ratings in terms of numbers and how that relates to actual fundraising. They don't necessarily correlate. So recently, the program that I was doing as a weekly program was changed to a weekend time slot. This is just my personal experience. And I always believed I had a fairly decent number of listeners, but the presumption was, of course, that the people in that slot didn't. But when I turned up in another day, and it turned out that I discovered that there were a lot of listeners. So whether it's the same listeners, I don't know. But it does give you some sense of what's happening, because I have found personally that very often programming changes are made based on assumptions and not realities. So I find it useful if it can provide a reality in terms of where the listeners are and who's being listened to. It doesn't always follow the presumed assumption. So that's
right.
My perspective on it.
Yeah, Catherine, can be fixed. Yeah, I mean the stack, please.
Yes.
This is Wesley Bethune, KPFT. Wesley Bethune.
Yes, Wesley.
Oh, we're no longer in the stack, I guess. Okay.
No,
it's just a poor
You are on the stack. That was Steve speaking, right?
Here.
No, I'm
yes.
not.
So
this is
Steve
Wesley Bethune.
Hi, Wesley. Are you new to this committee?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
yes, Madam Chair. I don't know if the Secretary updated, but at the last LSB meeting, per the conversation I had with this committee, Cliff Smith, he is replacing Cliff Smith.
Okay, and that's at KPFT, right? Okay. All righty. Welcome, Wesley.
Welcome aboard, Wesley.
Steve, you were next on the stack?
Yeah, just a quick comment, because when we talk about Nielsen's, just remember there are different levels of service that you pay for. When KPFK had Nielsen's, we did not pay for the individualized hours. They were almost useless. They would tell you what Our numbers were for 7 p.m. like Monday through Friday. We have different shows every day. So if you're talking about paying for the individual hours, which is a lot more, that's great. That can make decision-making easier for a programming director, but just be aware that there are lower levels, too, when you say Nielsen.
Jim.
Yeah, it's essential to, I think all the stations need to see these kind of data in detail right now, because I know that looking at BAI, and, you know, Catherine is right, you know, I don't necessarily agree with her completely on that, but it is true that, you know, it's all assumptions. You know, you're looking at these low numbers, you make assumptions, and so you have to sort of be critical about your assumptions. All I know is that the data that I've seen shows that morning drive and afternoon drive at WBAI are extraordinarily weak. And then you have to get into a question of why. How do you explain that? And then, of course, that's when you get into all the fights. But it would be valuable to have a sense of what's going on at the other stations in concrete numbers, what works, what doesn't work, and then, you know, see how we can help each other out. And I do think you need that detailed hour-by-hour breakdown, which is what I've been seeing. And I haven't seen the overnights, by the way. I don't know what the overnights are like. I know that in KPFK it's an unusual situation because you've got Roy of Hollywood, and that guy has huge ratings compared to a lot of other time slots. So, you know, you just have to look at this stuff, because when people sit there and say they're speaking for the community, I must admit it, I laugh, because, you know, we're in a market of 17 million, and if you only have 500 people or 800 people listening to you, what kind of community? I guess it's a community, but is it the community? I find that a little
ludicrous. Let's not go into putting people down for whatever their perspectives may be.
I'm just saying that has been a pretty strong organizing concept of radio, and if the numbers are so low, then, you know, we have to sit there and interrogate that and question it.
Well, okay, that's fine.
Catherine, can I bring in a point of information here?
Yes, is this Eric?
King has a point of information.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if we can give our timekeeper, along with tracking individual comments, a sense of how long we're spending on topics. Because, and this is probably, it's probably my bad, because I need to find out who's administering the list, because I've just checked my trash and my spam, and I still haven't found any emails, and I may have given the address wrong or something. So I don't know whether the agenda had any time limits assigned to it,
We discussed that on the front end of the meeting.
Discussed what?
A length of time per topic.
Well, I haven't heard anything to say how much time is left on the topic since we started the topic, so that may have been discussed at the beginning, but I haven't heard that, okay, we have 10 minutes left, we have 20, 15, 20, 10,
okay,
5.
King.
Okay,
yes.
We went over that in the front end of the meeting.
And we didn't set time limits to the items.
Okay.
And there was an opportunity at the beginning when we approved the agenda to do that, and it wasn't offered at that time.
Okay.
So we can certainly do that in the future as a consideration, because these conversations can get long. So I appreciate your point.
I apologize for being late, because that causes, you know, us to have to go over issues. But is there a way to assign it to the rest of the time for this meeting to take a moment and assign time to the agenda, so we can decide whether some items we want to get through or not get through?
I read the agenda, and I don't think that now is the time to do it, King. I'm happy to read the rest of it for you. but this is all part of the beginning. There's always an item to change the agenda, add or reduce items. So that's part of the initial conversation. So I don't want to have that conversation again, but I am certainly willing to reorder what we have. So let me read it out, okay? Underwriting, which is, and under that I have a draft sponsorship agreement from WBAI for us to consider. Program director's obligation to report statistics on what is being broadcast. Working on traffic management, station IDs, training, internet radio streaming costs. And we have two draft resolutions. And that's it. And then we adjourn. So is there something in that order that you would like to take up first?
Catherine, I'm confused. I thought King was saying he was asking for times for each topic. He listed the topics. There's nothing about time limit for the total topic in the agenda.
Right. My point being that the agenda was passed without time limits. So, my question was, there are several, there's only four or five issues left. So my thought was that we could take them in the order of importance if you want to reorder them. If you want to add time limits, let's do that.
Well, I was, I'd like to hear what the thinking was of the body about whether there we want to make sure that all these items were covered, or whether we're willing to just talk about this and then just let things fall off. It was just to see whether there was going to be any deliberation about what we accomplished here. And once again, I'm going to apologize for being late, because that means that, you know, I contributed to this, because I would have brought it up had I been there in the beginning to
at
make
the
sure
beginning.
We got through everything.
The point, if I may respond, and then I'll let you respond. As these items that are on the agenda have more or less been on every agenda, and so it is been carried forward as an ongoing conversation. Out of the conversation is where we develop our possible draft, our resolutions to take to the PMB, our actions, as in last week when we wanted to respond to the ED about the election programming. So the way it has worked thus far is that we have essentially the same things on the agenda, and we work through the same things, adding our thoughts and ideas, and through the conversation decide how to act upon it. So we can do it differently, but I would like to have that discussion at the top of the next meeting, or perhaps we can send in those changes to the agendas for the next meeting, if that would serve everyone well. Who wanted to speak next? Was there someone who wanted to speak on time limits? I heard someone speak up.
Kath, I believe I said, but you've handled it adequately, I think, and very well. I need not speak.
Catherine Sabrina just got on the call at 6 o'clock.
Okay, hello, Sabrina. Welcome.
Hi. I apologize for being late. I'd like to be on the stack to talk about the Arbitron ratings and who does better and all that stuff.
Arbitron. Okay, so all right, so that is 90 seconds for each speaker. Go ahead, Sabrina.
1945. As far as the way that it's set up at KPFA, there's a certain strip, a certain day part, which is usually the 3 o'clock hour, that is automatically preempted. So if we're coming up with some type of protocol as far as a rating show that do better than others or make more money, I mean, it's going to be kind of hard to do with the way the KPFA is set up. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to find a workaround with that, because we're just, it's just automatic 3 o'clock hour. Mine show is at 3:30 on Mondays, and it's just, it's automatically preempted, no obligation to try to raise money or anything like that. So just wanted to put that out there as well.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So the next topic was underwriting. Yes?
Catherine, our colleague just said the 3 o'clock slot is preempted. Does that mean it's replaced by other programming? I'm not clear.
Yes. During the, I'm sorry, Madam Chair, may I go ahead and answer?
Yes, please do.
Thank you. Yeah, it's automatically replaced with Fund Drive
I see.
Program.
Yes. Okay, great. All right, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. So that's something.
I do have a question. This is Dwayne. I have a question.
Yes, Dwayne.
Ken to the stack. I want to go to the stack too. Ken Aaron.
Okay.
At what point?
Dwayne,
I just want some direction. Okay, I want some direction as to at what point would I make mention or bring up some of the comments regarding programming and program directives across the network. Somehow we have a discussion about a national program director. I have some comments about what has been going on at KPFT the last 4 to 5 years without one, and even with one, how we're able to make this a network effort as opposed to 5 individual programming efforts. And just let me know what would be an appropriate point to make those comments or ask that question.
Okay. All right. So let me answer you. So let's see.
Catherine, I have a request for information, a point of information. Would that, is that not a change to the agenda?
Unless it's already on the agenda.
Okay.
So the only thing we have here is program director's obligation to report statistics, traffic management, training, maybe under alternative stations. So we don't have anything specifically for that topic on our agenda.
I'm willing to defer to the next meeting. I'm not asking to put it on this agenda if we can't accommodate it, but let's just look forward to that. I will add it to the next agenda to save time.
Okay. So we'll put it on the agenda as new business for the next meeting. Okay. That's fair. And who was the Ken? And this will be the last speaker on this topic, I think, Ken. Everyone has spoken multiple times. Go ahead, please.
Can you redirect me to exactly what the topic was? I don't want to make my statement, but I want to get it related to the topic.
We were talking about Arbitrons, primarily.
All right. So let me get this done in 90 seconds. We have to direct our attention to the listening audience rather than the programmers. We have to work to solicit the interest and connectivity and participation of the potential audience, not to satisfy what the programmers want to get their message out. So we have to adjust. And what I realized while on the call is we don't have a way of changing the programming. It happens by caveat, by cronyism. Somebody knows somebody who knows somebody, they get them to the program director or something. We don't have a regular line coming in for new ideas in programming. And then we're at a loss. So we're not having an opportunity to put new talent on except by word of mouth or who knows who. We should establish a regular line for people to where people can go to submit ideas or demo tapes for getting on the air, and it should be done specifically with college radio programs and open to the public too.
That's
everything's word of mouth. It has to do with the Arbitrons in this regard. We have to pay attention to who's listening when, And we could also take a look at who else is what the people are listening to on other stations, because we can look at everybody's arbitrage, not just our own.
That's it.
Okay. Thank you. So the next item on the agenda is underwriting. And it isn't necessary to go into a discussion at this time. I just wanted to point out that I sent to the committee the draft sponsorship agreement that is being worked on at WBAI. It's a lot of information. I think you'd have to read it first. But it was put into together in consultation, I believe, with some legal advice as well as some marketing advice. And that's all I have to say about that at this time. But does anyone else want to speak about this draft or about anything else doing with underwriting?
Catherine, this is Eric. If you don't mind, could you send it to me once again, please?
Say that again?
Can you send it out once again if you don't mind?
Oh, yes, I'll send it out again.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Wesley Bethune on the stack, please.
Yes, Wesley.
Yes, our programming at KPFT, we don't have access to Arbitron ratings, and what we have are basically music shows all weekend long, and it sounds like an infomercial for the various nightclubs and bars and music halls in town, and I was wondering if would it be possible to accept underwriting from those same venues that we hawk tickets for?
I think that's kind of the idea, to see what would be possible. And I think that's what's being thought of in terms of New York, because we have a lot of big entertainment venues that don't have political affiliation, but might be interested in sponsoring something with their programs, their shows. So that is what we're exploring, the possibility of doing that.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next one I believe we have taken care of, program director's obligation to report statistics on what is being broadcast. There was a resolution passed at the last meeting that will be going to the PMB tomorrow, and it reads, be it resolved that, whether or not it comes up on the agenda is another story, but it says, be it resolved that the program director of each station will generate a quarterly spreadsheet report analyzing the categories of programs broadcast on their station to be emailed to the general manager of the station, the PMB programming committee, and the executive director. A bar graph will be included in the spreadsheet showing the relative number of hours broadcast for each category during the week and separately on the weekends. And this is by way of collecting information about what's happening on the air. But does anyone else want to comment on the obligation to report statistics on what is being broadcast?
Well, I'll do Anissa from Houston. I mean,
yes, Anissa.
Well, we have to look at, I don't know about two or at least three-fourths of, it looks like Pacifica in general. I mean, not all of us have some, like, program directors. And then we ask, okay, if that's the case, then, what office of our, that is at the station, would be an alternative? I mean, would this, concern go as membership? Would it go under you know, if we had or in our case, when we, since we don't have an official general manager, then, you know, I mean, ultimately, who is the authority of to get this information?
Okay, that's a good question. Maybe it's a question for the ED to determine what person would have that authority in a station that doesn't have a program director or a general manager. So it's a good question. I don't know the answer. Do you have a suggestion?
I mean, does Pacifica, you know, have maybe certain academic institutions? I mean, how are we training people as far as, like, we're talking on the college level, you know, what kind of courses are we requiring? What kind of credits are we, you know, putting in this? I mean, what does the education for the new radio, you know, radio communications in general, what does that look like? I mean, I think, you know, at least when I was growing up, I mean, this is being in the 80s, you know, everybody wanted to be a DJ. We all watched WKRP, and we all thought, you know, we wanted to be Venus or we wanted to be like John Stewart. You know, I mean, I'm showing that, you know, kids nowadays, I mean, what do they think of when they see a radio station?
Yeah, well, it's a good question, and we actually have a resolution on training coming up. So maybe we can look at it as we get there. The next two issues are working on traffic management and station IDs and the training issues. And Jim has brought two resolutions for that. Has everyone received those resolutions? Or is there anyone we need to send it to again?
I need to fall on the sword. If you can send it to me once again. I don't know if I'm hitting delete too quick or what, but if I can get the items once again, please, I'd really appreciate it. This is Eric.
Okay.
Washington.
Okay. So we'll send it out to everybody again.
Right.
Jim, do you want to speak on your two resolutions?
King, you're still online? Is King still here? Anyway,
I don't know.
He may not be here. I will try to polish those two resolutions up. Basically, the one on traffic management is a general policy to sort of talk about the need for station IDs and forward promotion inside the shows. And the second one is on training. And I'm very happy when I'm talking to people in California, but I'll work on them to polish them up more so that maybe next time we meet, I'll have them more fleshed out. I'll work, you know, Kathy, I'll have some input here and you all, and we can sort of get a more defined set of resolutions so we could debate them.
Okay. And I would ask that anyone who has, if we could all take a look at them, and then you can forward your thoughts or perhaps flesh it out for the agenda for the next meeting. So essentially these are not ready to go. Is that correct, Jim?
Yeah, I would want to get more input. Again, I apologize. I've been too involved with these congressional races.
Okay. So that being the case, and these being the last two issues on the agenda, would anyone like to speak to either the traffic management or training that we could add to our thinking at this moment? So, Anissa, you just said something about training, so I'll add that under there.
Catherine, I'm sorry. This is Eric. We're still experiencing a bit of background noise. It's not major, but if anyone can...
mute your phones, everyone who's not speaking. Even though you might not think it's a lot of noise, it comes through. Okay. So does anybody want to speak on the traffic management issue? Okay. Hearing none.
Grace, I don't know if it's a traffic management issue per se, but...
Anisha?
Yeah, what we don't see, in Nielsen ratings and how the data is collected, a lot of people, it's probably a blanket assumption, but these people, everybody's, we're looking at data of people who are in their cars. The fact is, and I am a bus rider, and, I don't think we... have accurately looked at people who are, frequent bus riders or in the case of New York and Washington, you guys, y'all have a train, y'all have a subway, and that kind of thing. And a lot of people, who I talk to when I am on the bus, a lot of people don't know about the station. They've never heard of it. They just barely know what the difference between FM and AM, I think.
That speaks to a bigger problem. Yes? Is that Jim?
Yeah, Kathy, one of the things that is the reason I'm bringing this up is precisely what you've raised, Anise. That is the recognition of the public of these stations to start with. Most of the people who listen to WBAI traditionally are not in their cars. And it's not to say that people don't drive cars in New York City, because they do. It's certainly not as high a percentage as people do in the Houston area or in California, in the Bay Area or down in Los Angeles, or even in Washington. But there is a very disproportionate higher number of people listen to it at home, and very few listen to it in a car. And that says to me, well, we're not reaching the drive time audience except people at home. And what does that mean? That means to me that when you listen to other stations or normal IDs, people will ID the station usually every 15 minutes. They'll say what's coming up again. And I've been in debates at BAI about these kind of issues going back 25 years. So to me, this is ridiculous to even have these arguments at this point. We just have to come up with a common sense policy, and that's it, period. And if people don't follow it, that's part of evaluating a show. Because that costs us the ability to reach people who doodle and listen to radio. And that's and the other issue is that younger people don't listen to radio, analog radio, the same way that we might. So that becomes a different kind of problem. But station IDs, to me, in some kind of regularized fashion, it's not counter-revolutionary to do that. It's so ridiculous to even have these kind of arguments in the year 2018.
10 seconds, please.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay,
Grace for the stack. Grace for
Duane,
the
stack.
Hold on, Erica.
Yes, sir.
No, I'll go to the stack after our colleagues here.
Okay.
Please.
Grace. And Dwayne, was it?
Yes,
Grace.
Yes. Nielsen has found all different sophisticated ways of tracking the audience for TV and radio. If you go to the Nielsen website, you'll see all the different ways they have of figuring out who's listening. It's not true that they don't monitor the underserved communities. They do. They are able to monitor the Spanish-speaking audience and all different demographics. So, but all the ways that they do that are listed and explained on the Nielsen website. You might have to look around for it on the website, but they'll give you all the ways that they do that. They do it in a number of different ways. By the way, Arbitron was the company, it was bought by, it was a rating company, it was bought by Nielsen. So everything that was being done by Arbitron is now under the Nielsen name.
Okay, so that was a clarification.
Yeah.
Duane.
You said Duane?
Yes, I did.
You're on.
Okay. I think, I guess I had to slip it in, but who's going to be responsible for any of the ideas we come up with as a program committee and it's adopted and addressed by the executive director and instructions are given out? Well, then we know the ED is consumed with so many other things. So who is going to be responsible for implementation and management and ensuring that any policy, good or bad, that this committee comes up with that would be adopted by the ED? What position do we have now and what position do we plan to fund in the future that would be responsible for follow through with it?